This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, January 28th. Nice to have you along. Hans Breitenmoser will be joining us later this hour. He's a dairy farmer in the Merrill area and joins us every couple of weeks or so to talk about things in Madison or Washington that might impact the rural Wisconsin economy, farming, the food supply, natural resources, local government, you name it. And so this is our first visit with him since Donald Trump took office. Already a lot of actions being taken or threatened, and we'll get Hans's take on the impact across rural Wisconsin coming up in just a bit. We'll also talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO. But first, in a correction that I have to make from our last hour, and it's a very important correction that needs to be made. Brittany Merlot is back from vacation today. Today, yay, she is here. And Robin Tigerton says, welcome back to the best meteorologist around. The Snow Queen is back.
DJ Flip Mix.
What?
How you doing?
Oh, I am fantastic. I dragged some of that nice warm air back with me. My gosh, today we're going to feel so good.
So you were in a warm place.
I was.
And what was the most extreme activity you did?
Ooh, extreme. You know, I didn't go too crazy this time. I would probably say I went to an island that was hit by Hurricane Helene, and I got to see all the destruction, helped clean up some of that stuff. So it was a little dangerous, but not extreme.
Wait, that is really not in line with what Greg was telling me an hour ago.
Well, first of all, I had no idea. I just figured you were doing something.
You know, awesome.
You weren't just laying on a
hang
beach
gliding
reading a book, which is fine if you wanted to do that. But you went on a vacation and you helped hurricane cleanup.
Yeah.
I am like the worst.
We are terrible people. We are so not worthy to have you on this program.
I yelled at the guy in a different car because he skipped the light. Like that. But you're like, you know what? I got to go help people. I got to make sure
on my vacation.
Just
wow.
Warm weather was included, so it was good. Two good things.
I'm going on vacation tomorrow. I got to do something good for the world.
Now you got it. Yeah. No pressure there. Rob says good morning from Tigerton. It's partly cloudy and 18. Calm winds, but the wind machine will pick up this afternoon. I had supper at my sister Lori's house in Caroline. I took pictures between my sister Lori's house and Highway 29 at the top of the hill along County G, south of 29 in western Shawano County. He goes on to talk about our segment last hour about Bob Uecker and how much he loved the old light beer commercials, his call of the final out of the 82 ALCS against California when the Brewers won the pennant and went on to the World Series. Rob also wanted to note that Vin Scully called one of the most famous NFL games, the 1981 championship game, when the Niners defeated the Cowboys with Dwight Clark's famous touchdown catch. A lot of people associate Pat Summerall and John Madden with CBS Sports, but Vin Scully was a fixture along with Hank Stram on CBS Sports for many years as well.
Those are just great names. Hank Stram, Pat Summerall, and John Madden.
Vin Scully. Yep, so all that from Robin Tigerton, who started off by telling us the weather there. And you did, in fact, bring a little warm weather back with you.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. 50s are not out of the question today, especially in the southern parts of the state and off west. We're looking at highs from about the upper 30s to upper 40s. It is going to be a very windy day, where we do have a wind advisory in effect around Lake Michigan. Gusts are going to be reaching about 40 miles per hour throughout the state, even up to nearly 50 into those lakeshore areas. So it is going to be a wild, windy day, but a warm one. It is going to feel fantastic out there. We do have an up and down week, though, with warm front today, cold front tomorrow, warm front Thursday, cold front Friday. So a lot of up and down, but we will go back to the upper 20s to upper 30s tomorrow, and then even warmer into Thursday, where we will be into those mid 40s to low 50s. So a pretty interesting week and a warm one.
Yeah. And look, we're happy to take it. We're happy to be back together for all of a day. As Tony notes on YouTube, the band is back together for a day because then Greg starts his vacation tomorrow and then mine shortly after that with Bach in the Dock on the way as well.
Yeah.
Kristen Lyerly is going to help fill in while I'm away. Brittany, that's I hope fantastic. You'll be... Help her along on this. You know,
she's
still learning this radio biz. She's rather shy.
I need help too. Hello. I'm not good at this. I'm fine.
We're going to agree to disagree on that one.
Whatever.
Brittany, thank you so much. Glad you're back.
Thank you, guys.
Missed you. Bye.
Missed you.
Today on the Maggie Dawn Show, we will be hearing from former U.S. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. He's in Wisconsin today holding a news conference at the state capitol. In the same room where the fake electors met, Maggie's going to talk to him about President Trump pardoning the some 1,500 criminals who beat him and other law enforcement officers. And he also has thoughts on Attorney General candidate Brad Schimmel, who whined that the insurrectionists weren't getting special treatment by the courts. That's coming up in the 2 p.m. hour. In the 3 p.m. hour, Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance will talk about Medicaid expansion as a priority for small businesses. Small business owners are always looking to find and retain good workers, and that gets easier if there's a level playing field out there where folks can access stable and affordable health insurance. Again, that's 3 p.m. hour on the Maggie Dawn Show. Civic Media is also reaching out to tell you that if you would like to help the folks that have been harmed by the wildfires in Southern California, there's a group out there, a nonprofit called Convoy of Hope. It's a nonprofit helping provide immediate relief to those in need. If you'd like to learn more about Convoy of Hope, head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, and click on the banner at the top of the website for more information. 7-13 right now. The Bucks were winners in Utah last night, 125-110. The Bucks are in Portland tonight. Greg, before Dan Hagen had to leave from WJFW Newswatch 12, we had such a full history segment today, we couldn't really get to one of the local stories that he's covering.
Yeah.
But it should be noted that one of the headlines there at the WJFW news site is local ice recovery service has had busy start to the winter season.
Yeah.
And we were teasing him about, you know, headlines are tricky. I'm like, I didn't know there was ice that needed to be recovered.
Yeah.
But
Pat, I have something for you. It's your ice.
Oh, you found it. You got it back. No, it's not that. It's recovery from those who go through the ice.
Yeah.
So the story is about one particular company, Bulldog Off-Road Recovery Service. This is what they've had to fish out of waters up north so far. A four-wheeler. Two snowmobiles, four side-by-sides, two trucks, and one ice shack have all needed to be pulled out of the water already this season. So the owner says he's well on track to surpass his average of 12 recoveries per season. People.
There should be the 12 things of recovery. Yes. Ice recovery. And a partridge in a pear tree.
You know what? The partridge would know better than to not go on thin ice.
Agreed. You know,
with its little tiny bird brain. So don't do that, folks. Learn from the story up there at Newswatch 12. Take it easy out there. I know it's been really cold, but that doesn't necessarily matter in some places, especially with a current. And despite the, the laughter, it's a serious business. So, folks,
I don't want anyone to get hurt.
No,
I don't want anyone injured. I certainly don't want anyone to lose their lives. But we're at that point now. We had a nice deep freeze, but the warm weather's coming on fast. I don't live around water and ice like in that sense where I'm out on there. I didn't live a life on the ice with like fishing and whatnot. But even I know I'm to say, probably not a good idea, bro. No, don't go out there. On the land. The land is nice and solid.
Exactly. Let's see. In the news here, Senator Ron Johnson was on Up Front over the weekend through WISN-TV talking about how he wants to fast-track appointments for President Trump's cabinet picks. So we've got a little audio clip to play from him. But what Johnson wants is a far different approach than how his fellow Republicans are handling confirmations in Madison. Johnson's calling for recess appointments, a process designed to cut off debate among Democrats who have concerns about Trump's nominees. Johnson says they're just stalling.
I hope people recognize the real abuse and obstruction being put up by Democrats. Within 3 days, President Obama had 12 of his cabinet nominees approved and confirmed. We've had now a couple. And Democrats are going to keep running out the clock here, denying President Trump the confirmed secretaries for his departments. I think it's pretty grotesque. From my standpoint, this is exactly why we may want to and have to use recess appointments.
Again, disingenuous doesn't begin to describe sometimes the things that Ron Johnson talks about. If you want to abuse the confirmation process, ask for confirmation for people who are singularly unqualified for the office. Start with that. But more importantly to this point, Johnson's sense of urgency on appointing, confirming these appointments sure stands in stark contrast to how his fellow Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature are handling confirmations for Governor Tony Evers. Evers is starting his seventh year in office. His cabinet has 17 department heads. Only six have been confirmed. The rest are able to serve in their positions, but Republicans are using a loophole that enables them to fire any of the unconfirmed appointees at any time. That was never the intent of the confirmation process. But the lack of a deadline, because people thought that the parties would have a good faith effort in the legislature, but that lack of a deadline means that Republican senators have twisted the advise and consent process into one where they can fire an official at any time for any reason by simply now holding the confirmation vote and rejecting the nomination made long ago. Republicans have so far fired about two dozen officials over the past 6 years, ranging from a cabinet member to members of the UW Board of Regents, the State Judicial Commission, the Election Commission, the Medical Examining Board, the Natural Resources Board. About a year and a half ago, they even fired a domestic violence survivor whom Evers had appointed to the Governor's Council on Domestic Abuse, just because they didn't like that person's politics. By refusing to confirm more than 100 other Evers nominees for various posts, that has also enabled some appointees from former Republican Governor Scott Walker to stay on long after their original terms expired. So for Senator Ron Johnson to say that Congress needs to fast-track Donald Trump's nominations, that may or may not be the case. But maybe he could start by calling out some of his fellow Republicans for a much more grotesque abuse of obstructing cabinet and office nominations. More coming up after this on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitbaum.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is not the typical theme from MASH that you're used to hearing at the start of the old 70s sitcom. Sounds more like if there was a jazz pianist in the officers' club there.
Yeah.
But I thought we might shake things up a little bit just to note that Alan Alda turns 89 years old today.
Can I tell you a fun piece of trivia about this song?
Sure.
Robert Altman's son wrote the lyrics that's only sung in the movies. It became a top 10 hit, I think, or maybe more. And he's like, Robert Altman's like, yeah, I made the movie. My son became a millionaire. That's fine.
There's money in the music.
Yep.
There's money in
writing the lyrics.
Yes. Speaking of which, forgot to put this in my notes. It just occurred to me. Did you happen to catch any of the 3-hour special last night on 50 years of music on Saturday Night Live?
No, I didn't see. That's what I wish they would put. Like, they dropped that 4-part documentary.
Yeah.
But they didn't.
And that was only on Peacock.
But like, I want to watch like I want them to have it's 50 years. Have a list of things that are coming out. I know that the anniversary special is next month.
Right.
But like, have a list of things you're doing for the year, because it's like,
yeah, I mean, it just came and went, which I've got to think they're going to replay it a few different times, just because the music is so good, unless they have a problem clearing the rights. But it's not your typical TV special, because it's basically a 3-hour documentary done by Questlove. And he does an amazing job. The mashups of 50 years of songs, how he can make one song flow into the other, which I know a lot of DJs do that, but now do it with video as well. And then some of the stories behind the original songs, like Eddie Murphy talking about James Brown in the hot tub.
Yeah.
And how that skit came about, you know. There's another famous one with Justin Timberlake. I can't tell you the name of the skit, but, you know, it was on the Christmas show and involved some Christmas presents.
It's something in a box.
Ooh. It's in a box, you know. We only watched the first half of it because it's the 3-hour special. We're going to watch the rest of it tonight. So if you've either DVR'd it or can get it through streaming services at some point, I would highly recommend the 50 years of Saturday Night Live music. Because, you don't get so much you know how some skits, they don't really hit the mark? Yeah. This is all music. This is all stories about the music, and folks would really like that. So
I'm just looking. Anyway. I'm giving it a cursory search. I'm going to watch it today. When I get home, I'll be packing, so I'll have it in the background and watch it. And Questlove watched every single episode of SNL, and the name of the documentary is Ladies and Gentlemen. I love that so much.
The one thing that's been consistent throughout SNL is that the musical thing always starts with "Ladies and Gentlemen," and then they introduce
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, exactly, just like that. So, good show for folks to watch. Over on the Up North News website, upnorthnewswi.com, a couple of new stories to tell you about. This week on Friday, along with Kia Vakil, we're going to talk to national correspondent Isabel Soissons, and she will talk about her new article, how states with abortion bans or near abortion bans are losing their young adults. I mean, people are leaving states with abortion bans. Tens of thousands of people by the quarter, calendar quarter. People are voting with their feet where they would like to settle down, where they'd like to raise a family, and while raising that family, not have their reproductive rights interfered with. So Isabel's piece is really something to watch there. Also up on the website is my new opinion column on the firing of Milwaukee TV meteorologist Sam Cuffell. And I spoke briefly about it last week. I'm pretty sure I used the phrase gutless wonders when talking about the management at CBS 58. Because, again, she was fired for posts on her personal social media account criticizing Elon Musk for his, shall we say, Nazi-adjacent salute. Now, the editorial goes on to talk about how there are a couple of lessons to be learned from this. And most folks are only learning the one lesson, and that is that you should watch your language. Okay, that's fair, but that should be the case anytime. You should choose your words carefully. And maybe a colleague or a friend would have seen these posts and said, yeah, Sam, I don't know, might get you in trouble. But again, we're talking about criticizing Nazis. This shouldn't be a problem. And that the real lesson to learn here is to, yes, choose your language carefully, choose your imagery, choose your presentation, whatever, but choose it and use it. Use your voice. You have access to a global audience out there. Not to say you're going to go viral, but everybody has the capacity to, based on the strength of their message. Now, maybe Sam Cuffell should have just put up a 3-word post. I'm against Nazis. Maybe instead of criticizing the photo with Elon Musk, she just posts the photo and says, what do you see in this photo? And let other people talk about, you know, the inappropriateness of it. Neither of those approaches would necessarily make everybody happy, My point is, it would center the dialogue where it belongs. The dialogue belongs on Nazism and Elon Musk's gesture, not Sam Cuffell's career arc. She deserves to be someplace else, and she deserves to be at a place that will back her up. One that will say, well, maybe she didn't say things the way that we would have said it, but she criticized Nazism. We're okay with that. Please direct any further comments to that brick wall, because Sam's ours and we're keeping her. But the management at CBS 58 was too cowardly to do that. And what we need now in this era, more than any other time, are newsrooms and publishers that are willing to be heroes and not cower. Freedom of the press has never been more important than at this time. And instead, we have politicians who are making noises about suing reporters and newspapers and newsrooms, threatening to put reporters in jail. And the thing to do is not to shy away, but to say, we are carrying on, again, with words that are chosen carefully. Every news story is properly edited and vetted. The process is transparent. Sources are identified as much as possible. And then you go forward on these stories, because if you don't, if you pull your punches, you're not going to gain anything out of it. You're still going to upset the people in power in some other way, and they're still going to come after your license. And by the way, the point is not to pull anybody's license. When they talk about, you know, the new head of the FCC, Trump's head of the FCC, going after CBS, NBC, ABC, he's not necessarily looking to pull the licenses, but by starting protracted public fights, he's trying to persuade, shall we say, all the other newsrooms to pull their punches, to not have their investigations into ways that your taxpayer dollars might be on the verge of being severely abused. Don't let that happen. You call out places that are bad actors, like that station in Milwaukee, and put your loyalty in those who are going to have fearless newsrooms going forward. Hans Breitenmoser is next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Nibbling on sponge cake. All right, we don't have Jimmy on just because it's, you know, a January day, but for history purposes, it was on this day in 1985. That Jimmy Buffett opened his first ever Margaritaville retail store, named for his 1977 hit. It opened up in Key West, selling beach-inspired apparel like Caribbean Soul t-shirts and flip-flops. And it took a little while. It caught on. And from that one little Margaritaville shop came other products, other brands, of course, the concerts, all making the late Jimmy Buffett a billionaire off of beach music. Pick your lane, folks, and do well in it. Hans Breitenmoser joins us now, a dairy farmer from the Merrill area, where we talk a bit about the rural economy and things that could be affecting us, no matter whether we're on a farm or not. Hans, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for being here. Look, the first one is a gimme. And look, we've talked about two of the main things previously, mass deportations and tariffs. But now Trump is in office and he's trying to make both of these things happen. And folks will recall, I played this the other day, but this is Trump's new ag secretary, or at least still the nominee, Brooke Rollins, when asked about mass deportations, knowing full well the impact that that's going to have on America's food supply, and this is what she had to say.
Listen, the president's vision of a secure border and a mass deportation at a scale that matters is something I support. I was his domestic policy director in the last White House. I have built and led an organization alongside Chad Wolf, our former Secretary of Homeland Security, at the America First Policy Institute. I want to be extremely transparent, and I think that you deserve that. That is my commitment, is to help President Trump deploy his agenda in an effective way.
Well, I mean, you got to give her credit saying she wanted to be transparent. And Hans, as you know, a lot of people wondered if she was qualified for the post. She had a bit of a small farm background, but no real management experience in agriculture policy or anything. And honestly, I think that statement alone provides the transparency that she truly is not qualified to be ag secretary if she can't account for finding some kind of middle ground between, you know, the current situation and mass deportation. Maybe I'm being too harsh.
No, I think you're reading it pretty fairly. I feel like this is just another situation where we're going to have absolute loyalists in department heads in positions of power, and their main obligation is to make sure that Donald Trump is happy, and their secondary obligation at best is to run the department that they're and run the organizations that they're led to, that they're hired to lead, if not completely destroy those organizations from the inside out, which we could talk about, you know, the EPA and some others.
Oh, yeah, very, very much so. Tony writes on YouTube, let me be very clear. I am a rubber stamp, which is really what they're saying. There's literally no pushback on whatever crazy thing they utter or whatever extreme idea from Project 2025 that they want to implement. Now, one of the differences, before we get back to, you know, the harms that tariffs could do, but let's advance it for just a minute. Because you've heard from people, from officials in Canada and Denmark. This weekend, you had pushback from Colombia. The difference from last time around is it certainly appears that other countries know now what to expect from Donald Trump, and they're willing to push back. And while that back and forth might be interesting for reporters, my point being, they're ready to push back right away in a way that's going to hurt American exports and the prices that American consumers pay. It seems to me they're not going to be caught off guard by anything Trump does this time around.
Right, I would agree. I mean, they've seen this before, and now they like, I think the American public understand that this is, you know, 2.0. This is on steroids. This is, you know, a guy that believes, and we have reason to believe that he, you know, will get away with a lot of the things that he would like to do, based on, you know, the members of his party who are unwilling to stand up to anything that he does. So I think you're right. There's other countries and other policymakers around the globe saying, okay, this is what we can expect, and we're going to plan for that and so forth. And as it relates to ag, you know, we've had this conversation before. When we're talking trade, you know, American trade means American agricultural products. It just does. And so that we're going to be negatively impacted. And people around the world aren't going to starve. They're going to find other ways to get the job done, you know.
Yeah.
Brazil exists, and they will, you know, Canada, you know, all these other countries that produce agricultural products. I'm not saying that it's not going to be, you know, it's clearly going to be difficult for these countries, but I just feel like ag is going to take it on the chin as a result of some of these policies.
And by the way, when it does, that raises prices for consumers, as do just tariffs overall. And so for a campaign that was allegedly run about inflation and the price of eggs, which, you know, is going to be a running joke throughout this administration, I fear, you're seeing nothing yet at this point that would attack inflation. And instead, you're seeing things that would exacerbate it. For example, over the weekend, I mentioned Colombia, where, again, the mass deportation plan is to not only use regular commercial planes, charter planes, but military planes as well. military planes need express permission to land in other countries, you know, that whole invasion thing. And Colombia said, no, we don't want you bringing, you know, deportees back here in military planes. Well, Trump right away threatened to slap tariffs on Colombia. Colombia, without skipping a beat, was like, great, we'll put some tariffs on you. How much would you like your cup of coffee to cost? I don't think, Hans, it's a real winner to pick on a good trading partner that's bringing a lot of the coffee that we like to consume into this part of the world.
Well, right. And for what? So that we can have a public policy that's more, you know, spectacular and more stagecraft. I mean, people can get moved from one country to the other without being shackled in military aircraft. You know, this makes for great right-wing television and so forth. And that's what this is about. It has little to do with you know, kicking criminals out of the country, and more to do with, you know, getting the political base fired up. I really think that when you look at what's being accomplished versus what's the damage that's being done in the process, the bang for your buck is not spectacular here.
No. And at first it was being framed as Colombia backing down, but upon further explanation or exploration, it was pretty clear that it was the Trump administration that backed down, because all Colombia wanted, they said, look, we'll take the military flights in. This isn't about what plane you're using, but you've got to treat, you know, our people more humanely. They saw people getting off these planes in, I forget if it was Guatemala or Brazil, getting off, like you said, in shackles, in handcuffs. These aren't people that were going to hijack the plane or anything like that. And it was all for show. And the Trump administration backed down. So we won't have a trade war with Colombia, not this week. But I mean, day after day after day in this administration, Hans, we get a new threat of tariffs, whether it's involving, you know, Colombia or Greenland or any place else. And Hans, again, we've made the point that tariffs do have their place in trade negotiations and things like that. But when you're doing this every day, it really shows Trump's preference to more or less be a king rather than let Congress also play a role in trade policy. Tariffs are something the executive can do unilaterally, but again, with caution. There's no caution involved with this guy.
Well, again, Pat, it has nothing to do with what's best for the country. It's all about show business. I really believe that it's just 100% about show business from a person who just has been told his entire life that he's better than the room, smarter than the room, and so forth. So it just, we somehow have to get back to a place of good public policy and understand where that comes from. And I really feel like what has to happen is we need to get Republicans, Republican voters, and Republicans in office who have enough spine to say what's right and what's wrong, and not just blindly follow the king and do whatever whim he has, you know. Right. I can't believe that they're not worn out by this by now. You know, it's just exhausting.
I know. And again, bring it back to us. Bring it back to the folks in Wisconsin and the prices we pay at the store. Everything else, like you said, is stagecraft, which takes me to our other point of something that's really going to hit Wisconsin farms hard. And that is this new initiative by Trump to put some kind of a freeze on federal spending and federal aid. Now, this is aid that's already been approved. They might be disaster relief aid and farm assistance, education grants, loans to small businesses, HIV drugs sitting on shelves in clinics in hotspots around the world that now aren't going to be distributed. In all these cases, this is money that Congress long ago approved, and Trump is trying to avoid spending. Much the same way, by the way, that Republicans in the legislature are holding on to money that's supposed to clean up water and help children read. The money's been approved, but they're continuing to sit on it. Hans, if this whole spigot dries up and we're talking conservation programs and disaster relief, how quickly could Wisconsin farmers and then consumers start to feel this?
Well, I think pretty quickly and in a number of different ways. And one of the things that should be pointed out here, too, is the Farm Service Agency, which is the agency that takes these dollars, you know, from the feds, essentially, and distributes them at the local level. And those farm service agencies are in our local communities. I was on that committee for 3 terms, 9 years. And, you know, you got to have sort of a heart for the people who work at these agencies. They're our neighbors. They're our friends. Oftentimes they're, you know, farm owners and spouses of owners themselves and so forth. They have a connection to ag in a big way. And now they're sitting here going, okay, I thought I knew what I was going to do this morning, and now I'm not sure. What am I supposed to do? So you create this ridiculous confusion for people who are just trying to do their jobs. And when you take it then the next step further to the farm gate, this not only has an impact on that individual farmer, but think about all the people that farmer deals with, right? All the vendors that farmer deals with, the lenders that farmer deals with. If there's money that was supposed to be coming through a pipeline and suddenly from one day to the next, that money stops, that has an impact on all the things that farmer was going to do and all the people that he's dealing with. It's going to impact so many other people. For what? For what? What has been gained?
Which, again, let's be honest, let's be clear here. We're not talking about, well, don't try to get any spending reductions and don't go after, you know, any wasteful spending or make any changes. You can do those things. We have a regular budget process to do that in. And maybe people don't like the process, but this is about as close a case to throwing the baby out with the bathwater as it gets because of so much genuine public service that is either going to be ended or at least frozen for now. And I've got to think that, I mean, you know, planting season isn't that far away, people making their plans, and it's got to make it a little bit more confusing as to what you might be planning to do.
Well, absolutely. I mean, these subsidies to farmers are not the kind of, you know, huge dollars, but they do have an impact, and they are a thing, and they're a line item, and they're a consideration, and they're something that historically could be relied upon, at least, you know, in terms of it's okay, we know that this is a solid thing. This isn't something that's going to change like the weather. You know, so it's just one more thing that becomes out of the control of people who are already dealing with a lot of things outside of our control.
And getting more curveballs thrown at them unnecessarily. Exactly. Hans Breitenmoser, thank you. As always, appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks a lot.
All right. Chad Holmes is coming up next. You're up north.
Cut my heel, had to cruise on back home. But there's booze in the blend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Be looking to talk to Chad Holmes in just a minute or two here, but let's see, from Alicia on YouTube, it seems ag takes it on the chin when it comes to a good deal of policy. Yes, in fact it does. This is a part of America, rural America, that is taken for granted by Republicans to such a degree that if you have enough distractions based on culture wars or that it's other people's spending that you want to cut, they won't necessarily pick up on the cuts that are being made to them. So again, an important point that Alicia's noting for us. It is with some trepidation that I bring Chad Holmes in because we know how bad his voice was. We know that we talked to him over the weekend at the holiday party for Civic Media, and now I'm very fearful that we're just going to hear the whispers of what's left of Chad Holmes. Chad, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Hey, there it is. The voice is back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is good news.
It's almost back.
I would buy that record. Chad Holmes, The Whispers of Chad.
Mr. Wassum from Wausau. Awesome.
My goodness. Tony with all the nicknames for everybody.
I know. Thank you, Tony, for that on YouTube. How you feeling?
Better.
Okay.
Somehow Sunday was still terrible. Then yesterday morning, it came back to a workable level.
Good. All right. I think I mentioned this yesterday, but folks might have missed it. We had this bowling get together for civic media folks across, you know, northwest Wisconsin, western parts of north central Wisconsin. Chad was there at Wagner's in Eau Claire, and now Chad is a very competitive soul. He takes, you know, he takes part in the World Series of Poker. He knows how to look for a proper outcome, and I was so amazed at Chad's ability to purposefully bowl a game where, because the boss and his producer were playing in the same game with him, you somehow managed to finish one pin behind your producer and your boss. Chad, that's a accuracy on a bowling ball that I could only dream of.
I know where my bread is buttered.
No, this is where you honestly say you had nothing to do with it. But go ahead, take credit for you know, being able to.
I wanted to win, and then in the second game, I lost to the boss by 3 pins by choking in the 10th. So I was annoyed for both games.
That's honestly, Chad, I'm with you. So there's some people out there who get competitive playing baseball or football, or I become a different human when I bowl, and I'm not a joy to be around.
I don't bowl as often, too many aches and pains now. Yeah. So I just watch my score go down and down now over the years. Sherry, meanwhile, who is not much of a bowling fan, but boy, she bowled out of her mind at this thing. So maybe we need to take up a little more bowling. It was just it was a very nice activity all around to get everybody together. It was good to see everybody.
No, it was fantastic. And, I just wish I could have talked, but other than that, it went really, really well.
Yeah. Well, we did try. You know, you could notice we were all kind of leaning into him, like, "What'd you say?" But
it was awful.
We eventually got to him there. What are you talking about on the program out there these days?
Oh, nothing kind of jumps out at me. And by the way, you really kind of, you got my day off to a lousy start whenever I hear Ron Johnson as I'm getting ready to go.
Sorry, Chad.
You know, it's like, you know, thanks a lot, Ron. But, you know, something that came to mind is, you remember the old book from Hillary Clinton, It Takes a Village?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it just feels like we're completely the opposite. I mean, listening to the headlines this morning, hearing about grants and other sources of funding being taken away, hearing about our country saying you can't talk to the World Health Organization. You can't talk to our traditional allies. What's going on here? I mean, it literally feels like the whole perspective of our country is it's all about the individual, all by
yes,
themselves.
Yes, because no here, here's yeah. here's what it is. Hillary Clinton got it right. For mankind, for humankind to thrive and be sustained, we have to depend on each other. We have to work with each other. It does take a village. But there are some people, most of them coming from a wealthier class, who love to pass along the myth of rugged individualism, that it was, you know, the lonely cowboy that conquered this country and built the West. Baloney. Those cowboys worked together, and they needed help, and they needed the federal assistance to get the railroads. And anything that you can name these days that, in their mind, keeps going the myth of the rugged individualist can be blown up by the things that they need. Their big example right now is the entrepreneur, the businessman. You know, just leave the businessman alone and he or she will be fine. No, they won't. And you watch as these programs start to dry up, how much it hurts people who had believed in the myth of rugged individualism.
No, you're exactly right. And it's just, that's down the line. And even the DEI issue. And I saw this wonderful social media posting comparing the qualifications of Lloyd Austin, the previous Secretary of Defense, to Pete Hegseth.
Yeah.
And is this really what they're trying to accomplish here? Where a guy that literally had to have a dozen different levels of success in his military career to be considered to be the Secretary of Defense. And for this guy, all they have to do, well,
Be a talking head and a minion. Greg, you were going to say something about it, too.
I was just going to say it's rugged individualism until they fail and they need our money. our taxpayer dollars to bail them out.
That is exactly it.
That is a perfect.
All right. Well, we got Chad Holmes all wound up, so you're going to want to tune into this show on 98.9 WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Thank you, Chad. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matt and Air on Air as well. Tomorrow on the program here, we will have Christopher Thiel, who will tell us how legislators are looking to hide from taxpayers how much school vouchers are costing. There's a new budget trick on the way. Meanwhile, Republicans in some other states have had enough of the blank check when it comes to voucher schools. So tune in for that tomorrow. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.